This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. When you visit the doctor, you probably hand over your insurance, your ID, and contact details. It's just one of the many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose it, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
You say you'll never join the Navy. That you'd never track storms brewing in the Atlantic. And skydiving could never be part of your commute. You'd never climb Mount Fuji on a port visit.
Or fly so fast, you break the sound barrier.
Joining the Navy sounds crazy. Saying never actually is. Start your journey at Navy.com. America's Navy, forged by the sea.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on the Roku Sports Channel from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
How about them Cowboys?
Would this suffice as breaking up with the team?
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I no longer want to play for the Dallas Cowboys. My trade request has been submitted. Micah Parsons.
Earlier on the show, legendary broadcaster Brent Musburger. Coming up, Jaguars head coach Liam Cohen.
WWE superstar Seth Rollins.
Hosts of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman and Akbar Bajabiamila. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Our number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air begins with this very crucial piece of business involving our program. Guys, we're down to just three thin mints left in the back.
How are they still here?
Just down to three thin mints. That's it.
I saw the box and I went to reach for it and I said, nah, I don't want
it. How many have you personally eaten?
I don't know. I've lost track.
Uh-huh. I think I'm at 9.
Are you?
Yeah.
I get you've eaten more Thin Mints than you have Super Bowl contenders entering the 2025 season.
Yes.
Just trying to weave it all together. Brent Musburger just appeared. Liam Cohen's about to join us. Let's talk about the South Florida team. So we're going to focus on the northern part of Florida shortly. And, you know, the Bucs right there in Central Florida. You could make the case the most Super Bowl contending team in the Sunshine State, right? Wouldn't you say that?
I would say that.
Okay, but three teams?
I would.
Where would you rank them? You'd go...
I'd go Bucks, Jags, Dolphins.
You put the Jags above the Dolphins in terms of a better Super Bowl contender?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, we'll check in. We'll check in. Yeah, we'll check in with Liam Cohen shortly.
Realistically, it's only the Bucks, but...
No, I understand that.
To go 1, 2, 3.
I don't know. I go back and forth of whether we're sleeping on the Dolphins or not.
Hmm.
Because I'm just wondering if Tua's handling of Tyreek Hill's comments of, hey, I don't want to be here or I'm out of here at the end of last season, you know, brings more accountability, puts things to bed. You know, if they're healthier up front, pass rush wise, how does that help a back end of the defense that's going to need that help? That's a major concern for me, you know, that their entire starting secondary, I believe, is gone, whether they traded away or hurt. You know, they're banged up on the back end of a defensive unit that might be of concern, you know, at the end of the day. But it really is all about the quarterback and whether he can stay healthy. And then, of course, what is going on with Tyreek Hill and this team that has been held to account. We were going to play this before we went off the air on Friday, but Micah Parsons decided to demand a trade. So it's still somewhat germane because things have developed, if you will, in Dolphins camp since then. This is what Tyreek Hill had to say about Tua, kind of calling him out.
Just showing up, man. You know, I feel like that's the most important thing, you know, being consistent. Coming out here working every day hard, you know, just trying to get back to, you know, that old form of myself, man. I think that's very important. Just holding myself accountable, man. I think, you know, Tua comments were needed, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he's obviously the leader of our team, so he sets the standard. So I'm just trying to be the best teammate, best version of myself for this team I can be, man, every day. Showing up to meetings, coming out here every day, busting my tail in practice. I think it's important, man. So if you want to be able to leave a legacy, you got to be able to, you know, consistently do those kind of things.
Okay, so you want to give him the Family Feud?
Good answer.
Well, then the top five answers on the board. Here's your question. Would Tyreek Hill then 2 days later be reported to be late for a stretch out there in the field? Show me yes. Sunday, that's what happened, apparently. Late to the Dolphins team stretch Sunday. Does that matter? Oh, okay. I don't know. But then Tyreek offered a couple cents today on the short yardage situation. This is Friday, apparently, as well. The short yardage, did you hear about this one?
I did.
Well, and again, I understand his point. Devin Achane, when you need an inch, when you need a foot, when you need to move the chain here, you know, maybe you should go with somebody with a little more heft.
Yeah.
Because it's all about, yes, we're fast. We're a fast team. But when it's going to get 10 degrees and you need that foot, you need that inch, you need that first down, can you do it? Doesn't matter how fast you are if you're punting, because you can't push people around and you don't have it. And this is what Tyreek had to say.
Short yardage issues, the running game issues last year. How do you change that identity?
Take Devon out on third down. What? You want him? That's my honest opinion. If it's third and short, he's not a power back. I be telling him that in the locker room, but he a power back. I love Devon, though, but if I'm being honest, like, that's why you got Jalen Wright. That's why you got Ollie Gordon for those kind of situations.
Okay, so cue Mike McDaniel stepping up to the podium today. Oh, Sunday. Okay, great. Here he is.
I thought it was genius reporting by Tyreek, seeing how we had a short yardage period that very day that you guys were in attendance for. And his suggestion was, I guess, congruent with Coach Stutesville. That's exactly how we repped the backs in that short yardage period that very day. But we thought it was funny that he reported the news that wasn't news on that practice day in that short yardage period that you guys were all there too for.
It's got to be the first time congruent has ever been used by a head coach.
Oh, God, I love that guy. He is so funny. And I guess, you know, handle it with humor best you can, right? What a line that was. We thought it was funny that he reported the news that wasn't news on that practice day in that short yardage period that you guys were all there for, too. We're all waiting for football, man. Will it be a problem with Tyreek or not? I have no idea.
That's such a shrug question mark.
It is. Something to keep an eye on if he's, you know, three catches for 50 yards and they're not winning, or Tua comes out and he's on time and Tyreek's as great as ever.
You taking Tyreek in fantasy? You trust that to be your WR1?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I mean, is CD on the board? Justin Jefferson still on the board? Jamar Chase still on the board?
I mean, after those guys go.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
Yes.
Really? Yeah.
I thought you just said first one off the board.
No,
he was in the last two fantasy drafts.
No, you're not taking him first off the board.
At Indianapolis. That's a tough start, too, because they're going to be raising the Jim Irsay name up into the Ring of Honor. It's going to be an emotional day in there.
They don't have a quarterback. So.
Well, that's true. But it's the back end of that defense that really concerns me right now. They're going to have to be on that. They're going to have to be on that. And I just don't know how that's going to play. But just fast. Hey, Tyreek, you got to handle him in a certain way. And McDaniel just did that. Like, kind of tongue-in-cheek calling him out. Like, hey, man, Just watch practice. That's what we're doing. We see it too. 844-204 Rich, number to dial. It's an overreaction Monday, baby. Hit it. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Chris.
What's up, everybody? You guys good? Jay Felly, how was Vegas?
Hey. It was fun.
You were in Vegas?
Attaboy.
I was.
He survived. Okay. He wanted it that way.
Oh, did you go to
I did. It was amazing.
Did you see Luka and the rest of the Lakers there?
I did not.
Did you see that's what
he
they
had
did?
Different seats.
I was
different seats?
Not quite in their level.
Okay. All right, Christopher, what do you got over there?
Guys, here's the thing. It just feels different this time than all the other holdouts and hold-ins. We should believe Micah Parsons when he says he's done playing for the Cowboys.
Absolutely not. Total overreaction. Jerry is right. This is a negotiation. He's just being very emotional about it. I don't blame him for being emotional about it.
I would be emotional, too, when my injury history and my commitment are called out, and he's trying to do shady deals without my representation. I would take that personal as well.
I understand that. Again, I go back to the Super Bowl. Myles Garrett sounded exactly like Micah Parsons.
No, I disagree.
In terms of saying, I am done here. And as a matter of fact, he had almost a decade of waiting around to see what the Browns are going to do and had a much better case of saying, I don't want to be on a team that doesn't have the roster to support a Super Bowl run that I want to have to cap what is clearly a career on the way to another spot in Ohio.
That's why I think this is different.
And so
it's not about winning. This is about respect.
I get it. And the only way that respect can be absolutely bridged is with the contract he's going to get, in the same way that whatever needed to be bridged with Myles Garrett was bridged by $40 million a year.
Respect. I don't think this is about money for Micah.
Neither was apparently about that for Myles Garrett, and it turned out to be exactly something that made this thing better. I don't know why they're not talking. I don't know why it's gotten this sideways. I think we can all guess why it's gotten this sideways. But it's going to get worked out. He doesn't, like, right now, you hook him up to a Meet the Fockers lie detector test, he'll pass it. I bet you he believes he doesn't want to play for the Cowboys anymore. Then he gets a call he gets a call one day when he's strolling around on Oxford on, you know, his cell phone rings. Hello, what's going on? Well, here's the deal. We finally got a call. They want to talk. Oh, okay, great. And his first thought will be, I've been through these negotiations before. Your first thought is like you're cursing. You don't want to hear from these people because they're not responding to you, and then deep down you do want to hear from them. Then you hear from them and you're like, oh, this is going to work out great. Then you hear the number. Oh, okay, great.
I hope you're right.
Right now, I mean, I guess to use the phrase of the day, they've got 11 problems, you know, and it's Micah.
Well, he's not wearing a jersey. I forget what number he wear.
What else you got? It's overreaction. It's going to happen.
Here's the deal. Bill's Hard Knocks starts tomorrow.
Without Khalil
Pretty
Shakir.
Pretty excited about that.
Being healthy.
Shakir injury. James Cook is now holding in. The Bills need to godfather off for the Commanders for Terry McLaurin.
I did put them on my list right there in the middle of the top five destinations for Terry McLaurin. And I know anybody could use him, but, you know, I was looking at teams that are in the opposite conference, and I was looking at teams that don't pay somebody $30 million a year for a wide receiver, which clearly the Bills, I mean, that would be a provocative thing to tell James Cook, you know, hey, we're bringing somebody in and busting up, you know, our salary cap for somebody that's never been here before. And I understand.
Terry McLaurin is better than James Cook, let's be honest.
James Cook means a heck of a lot to this Bills offense, you know. Means a hell of a lot to this Bills offense. And I know that they're deep at the running back position. And they constantly, trust me, I had James Cook in fantasy last year. There are times when he's scoring three times in a game. There's times when he doesn't get the ball three times in the second half. And you're just like, what the hell? Why is Ray Davis carrying the football all the time? But that's a fantasy thing.
Sure.
I wouldn't mind seeing McLaurin on the Bills. I think that would be a proactive move. And I think it would be aggressive. But it is also not what it... What did I read today from their general manager that the contract for Brandon Bean said the contract had to fit in an umbrella, not a silo, was what he said about the James Cook contract.
Interesting.
Meaning we're not going to create a new column for you. It's got to be part of the everything. System. Yeah. That's what I took it to mean. And so you're creating a new column with McLaurin. I don't see this happening, but I don't think it's an overreaction. Week to week. for Shakir. Might not even be ready for week one.
Yeah, high ankle sprain. That's not good.
Yeah, those are the dreaded.
That's not good for August.
Chris?
Here's the deal. While my knees work, my back is good too, but someone in Los Angeles' back is not fine, and it's time to start worrying about Matthew Stafford's back.
We're still a month away.
Not practicing this week at all.
We're still then 3 weeks away.
I'm the...
Well said.
Yeah. As a season ticket holder, I'm slightly nervous.
Oh.
Hey, Rich, wow. You know what it is? He's worried about his resale volume.
No, he's not. Del Tufo is the one who's already given away literally 80% of his seats. I think Chris is
whose house?
I mean, I think you're like a third of the way to Taron Killam. You know what I mean?
That's an album.
You're a third. You're a third of the way to Taron Killam.
I like that. It's time to start worrying about Matthew Stafford.
Oh my God. It's broken.
Not an overreaction. I hear you. So what's going on?
What's going on?
I know.
We're seeing a second specialist.
There's a lot of specialists in Los Angeles too, in Southern California. He'll be in good hands. I don't know what's going on. Did he slip? Did he fall? I don't know what happened.
Oh.
Okay. I'm almost there.
So they don't play in the preseason, right? The studs don't play for the Rams. That's a Sean McVay thing, right? So joint practices are your prep for the regular season. Dallas this week for joint practices, not going to be there.
I'm getting there with you, but at the same time, this is not an overreaction. Okay. But I think he's going to start week one, pal. What else, Chris?
I hope you're right. Look, it pisses J.J. Watt off, all the practice videos that come out, right? I totally get it. But I did see some stuff from the Bears this weekend. I don't know if you saw any of these.
Yeah, Caleb Williams in an accuracy sort of quarterback.
Here's the deal.
QB challenge competition was throwing some Tebows.
I know Seth Rollins had some other stuff going on this weekend, but Seth and Bears fans, they should be scared out of their minds over Caleb's practice video and the body language, okay?
No.
The body language is a thing. Ben Johnson saying, hey, look, we should be further along now than we are.
Bro, I also saw some practice video where they dialed up some sort of evil play that two guys were wide open and Caleb, you know.
I saw Caleb taking sacks in practice.
I saw that too. I saw him throw an interception. I also heard how great he is in the two-minute drill. Maybe they're going to just figure out what this guy does best. And this is a laboratory. That's what J.J. Watt keeps on pointing out. These practices are all laboratories. They're not made to run every play to perfection, and every play runs to perfection because it also is helpful for the defense to blow it up. Now, obviously, when it looks like somebody is clueless and a play is breaking down, the protection's breaking down, and he's throwing it up for grabs in a way that he might not do in a game anyway. So again, JJ Watt's point is this is all a laboratory, okay? And now we're treating it like it's a game situation, even though these laboratories are set up to mimic game situations. I understand.
I'm starting to get worried about Caleb.
Overreaction as well, Chris.
All right, last football one.
How dare you?
I saw something from Adam Schefter this morning. You see the Colts depth chart? Have you guys seen this?
No, I have not.
At quarterback, it's Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson.
Okay.
I don't like the or there.
Why?
I mean, you got two, you got zero, and the Colts should really think about tanking for Arch Manning or whoever's QB1 in the draft next year.
Guy. What's with the Arch Manning tanking?
Because he's the man.
Because he's the man.
Hey, when I'm sailing off into the sunset on the USS Arch, you're going to get it.
First of all,
the Colts are in big trouble this year,
man. As you know, tanking doesn't exist in the NFL.
Well, you can creatively do it.
That's number one. Number two is Chris Ballard and his boa constrictors are not tankers, and Shane Steichen is not tanking, and the ownership there is not tanking, and certainly not for somebody who is not guaranteed to be coming out next year.
What's his? Well, his name is Manning.
I understand that.
And Manning played for.
I understand
Andy
there's a statue of his uncle standing outside the stadium.
He like it'll work out.
By the way, if you're Arch, do you want to play in a stadium that was built basically by your uncle, or you want your own identity?
You want to play for your uncle's team or your grandfather's team? Which one?
Probably your grandfather's team. Because that's his hometown, man.
Yeah.
It's his team, not just his grandfather's team. This is just a stupid conversation, top to bottom.
This is more about the Colts quarterbacks being terrible.
I get it. And you could say or right now. It's the first. We haven't even had a preseason game yet.
do I not?
Or.
Serious.
Or no, in the depth
chart. If it's or the week going into Miami, now you're having a conversation about, like, you're just keeping things quiet for Miami. You have, you're leaving them guessing. Which quarterback that has issues matriculating the ball and holding on to it.
Or completing it.
And then could also look like Colin Kaepernick on his greatest day ever.
Just completing, you know what I mean? Pass.
Like, you have no idea which guy's going to show up, which is why they're in either or situation in Indianapolis right now.
Yeah. All right. Over here.
Why no more football ones? What are you doing?
Yeah, okay. More. I did not know that one.
Okay.
One more.
Okay.
You know I like the Clooney one. It's fine.
That's all right.
Jay Felly's struggling.
That's my son. What's the matter with you?
I don't like that
that's
one.
A Jay disrespectful, Felly,
he's got Vegas hangover.
That
hangover.
That's my
Vegas
boy.
Here's the deal, guys.
It's your man, though, right there.
Seth Rollins lied to us. What is going on? I can't get over it. I can't lose this feeling that now, we were lied to.
Now, we're going to dive into this a little bit with Seth in about 40 minutes' time. It's because you guys were here. I wasn't here. I was in Tahoe, okay, at the American Century Championship. So was he was on crutches, right? He was on.
He was on crutches.
Okay.
Crutches.
And he was limping around, right?
Limping around.
So
his mood was low.
So everything he showed up with in MetLife at the SummerSlam.
Was how he showed up here. Yes.
Right.
By the way, I didn't realize this until about 5 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. I took a video of him walking through the studio.
Yeah. He could barely move.
I'm Seth Hoskins. Yeah.
Was it possible that he was hurt, that he did actually go and get a second opinion, and the opinion was like, you're going to be just fine, and he then, after that, kept it under wraps?
I mean, anything's possible.
Unlikely.
So I'll just say at this point in time, overreaction, but later on, I will hold him to account.
Okay, good.
I'll try to, if you will, pin him down.
Good luck with that. That's the champ, bro. You can't pin the champ.
I'm very well aware of this. I'm very, very, very well aware. Certainly because, you know, I'm just glad that the Money in the Bank case is over there. See, he's not here to hit me upside the head or on my back or we're all about the head, chest, and neck area.
Let me tell you.
With it. All right. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I cannot wait. You know how obsessed I am with Travis Hunter and the plan for him. I want answers from Leon Cohen. That's coming up next. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal can help you find and finance the right vehicle with ease. And this summer, you're in the driver's seat with savings. You could get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar and finance with Navy Federal. With this tool, you can find the vehicle that's right for you as you search through inventory and compare models. And you can get an amazing rate when you finance with Navy Federal. Navy Federal strives to support all active duty veterans and their families to achieve their personal and financial goals. And this partnership with TrueCar is one of the many tools Navy Federal uses to help its members. Make your plan with Navy Federal and TrueCar today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. To qualify for the $250 bonus, car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply and are available at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Liam Cohen's going to join us in just a matter of time. Derek in Missouri, let's take his phone call right here. Radio audience returns shortly. What's up, Derek? How you been, sir?
I'm good, Rich. I'll tell you boys something. Seth Rollins did not have me fooled one bit on Saturday night.
Okay. You saw through it?
Oh, yeah. Easily. I've been watching for 20 plus years, but I'll get to the brass tacks, Rich, with you and with my phone. So, TJ, I'm going to go to you, brother. You've been a diehard Cowboys fan for all these years. I give you credit for dealing with all this nonsense, and we're dealing with this again. Like last year, it's like I'm living deja vu with you, Rich, talking about Dak Prescott and his contract deal, and now we're dealing with Micah. It's like, there's a reason why we've been dealing with this for 30 plus years, the Cowboys, and why they haven't reached a Super Bowl and an NFC title game because of drama like this.
I guess, Derek, you know, I'm just jumping in here if you don't mind. I hear sure. that a lot, but by the end of the day, Micah signs, and you know, when he sacks Jalen Hurts, or if, let's just say, you know, he doesn't get to Hurts, is it because of the protection, the offense of the Eagles? Or is it because, you know, he didn't have the training camp time because he held out? You know what I mean? Like, I just don't know. Because at the end of the day, Dak got his, CeeDee got his. They didn't go anywhere, and Micah's not going to go anywhere. Like, he's not going anywhere. I mean, Jerry basically, Jesus basically told you, and thanks to the call, Derek. I'm sorry, we got Liam Cohen coming up in a second. He basically told you, I see, this is year 30 of me doing this stuff, plus, this is a negotiation. I've been told before I'm not this sort of stuff. You know, and yeah, is it maddening for a Cowboy fan that this stuff keeps happening and it's not done or already buttoned up so you can just focus in and zero in on the football and the rooting for the team and the footballing and all that sort of business? Of course it is. But at the end of the day, is this the reason why the Cowboys are not any good? Maybe if you push back on anything, the fact that they wait and maybe not get somebody else for the roster, that may be the issue.
That's bingo.
First time he stopped by on this program, the HC of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Liam Cohen, is here on the program. How you doing, Coach?
Great, Rich. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Listen, how does it feel to be an HC in the league? Just to take a second. I know you're getting ready for your first preseason game. You're in the midst of everything going on, but does it hit you? At any point in time here, Coach?
Actually, it was a pretty cool moment the other night. We had the scrimmage in the stadium the other night. And my dad had an opportunity to walk in the coach's locker room with us and into that area where I have my own office, obviously, in the locker room. And he just kind of had a moment where he's like, man, how cool is this? You know, I'm really proud of you. And that was just one of those moments that you don't take those moments very often, especially at this point where you haven't gone and won a game, you haven't really done anything to truly prove it yet. But ultimately, it was a cool moment between a father and a son, and ultimately a guy that coached me my entire life. So that was a really cool moment.
Yeah, not bad for a Rhode Island kid, huh? Right there in Florida, right there in Central Florida. How did you get started in coaching? How did this all get rolling for you?
So my grandfather was a coach. He was at Brown University. Gosh, I don't know what the years were, but my dad was a Division III college head coach at Salve Regina. He started that program in 92 in a small school in Rhode Island. He was a high school coach my entire life as well. And so once the playing days were over at UMass, ended up getting a great opportunity. Mark Whipple actually made a phone call to Phil Estes, who was the head coach at Brown University at the time. And I was able to get an entry-level position coaching the quarterbacks. I think making about $15,000, no benefits, and you're getting coffee, you're the video coordinator, you're coaching the quarterbacks, you're doing all the grunt work. And ultimately that's the start of it all. And I kind of bounced around in the Northeast there and FCS schools and got the opportunity to go to the Rams in 2018 to be with Sean.
Yeah. I guess how much of McVay is in you, Liam? You know, he's got a heck of a coaching tree for somebody who's not even 40 yet, right? So I'm just wondering how, because again, you know, James Gladstone's now the GM there. There's a lot of Rams going on there in Jaguar country right now.
Yeah, Sean made such an impact on me. Still does to this day with the conversations that we had really going throughout this process, throughout the season last year in Tampa, but also throughout the head coaching search, the process. So much of our culture and so much of the things that we end up doing here in terms of the way that we want to communicate with each other, the respect that we have between player to coach, coach to player, staff to staff, everybody in the building. A lot of that comes from Sean and from the building that I was in LA for 2018, really through 2020, was one of the more infectious buildings I've ever been in. And, you know, Sean, he has that ability to elevate people with his presence, with his energy, with his words. And that was something at my first few years in LA that I felt from him was, man, you don't do this to get a pat on the back as a coach, right? You do your job, you kind of stay in your lane and you put your head down and work. And he kind of showed a different side of the person of being a coach and how we can kind of connect with people, both your staff, your players, everybody in the building in a different way. And it kind of opened my eyes to say, man, like we can say we appreciate one another. We can say you're doing a great job. And all it did was make me want to work harder for him. And that was pretty sustained throughout my time with him.
And now, obviously, it's time to start tilling your current field, right? Liam Cohen, right. Head coach of the Jaguars here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's get to what's on your plate right now. And clearly, I'm sure, in your meetings with the Khan family to get the gig and to talk about the gig. It's a plan for Trevor Lawrence. Where are we in this process of you getting to know him, attached at the hip? This is it, right, for you and the Jaguars coach quarterback combination here?
Absolutely. You know, on my interview, actually in person, had an opportunity to sit down with Trevor quickly, and that was really where it all started. And then you fast forward to really the last two practices. If you go to our scrimmage under the lights the other night and then our practice yesterday, saw major improvements from Trevor really since getting into this system, right? As you know, Rich, like it's Sean, this system, it's not the easiest to learn, right? There's a lot of different complications in terms of the motions, the shifts, the cans, the amount that we do end up putting on the quarterback ultimately, and not just the quarterback, but the entire unit of itself. And so he's starting to see it before it occurs now. The motions and shifts and alignments are all starting to become second nature for him. And now you're starting to see that talent just go out and be on display. And so is it perfect every day? No. And that's the beauty of it, is that he's learning every single day and we're learning about him every single day. But the guy is mentally and physically tough. And you can always start with that. The great ones are always mentally and physically tough that I've been around, at least. And so you can always start there. And he's talented and he wants to be good. He wants to be great. And so I've been really pleased with him over the last few practices, especially.
So what do you think he can get better at? What do you think?
Yeah, I think just getting the ball out on time and in rhythm, but also, okay, number one's not open in my progression or my read. Moving on. Right. Moving on, playing in rhythm, but maybe that's not to the number one or the number two receiver in the read. How do we progress through the concept, through the read, while staying in rhythm so that the ball is still coming out in a timely manner? So that means your footwork, your eyes, your rhythm. When you do progress, staying in that rhythm and not being able to have wasted movements in the pocket. All of those things, making sure that we're set when we're throwing to our left. Making sure that we're set when we're throwing to our right so that the ball can come out when you want it. We try to coach the quarterback a lot like a boxer, right? You always got to be in a position to throw a punch. Same thing with the quarterback. You've always got to be in a position, regardless of what that truly always looks like. It may not always be the same, but to get the ball out and to throw it on time and accurately. So I think those are some of the things that he can continue to work on, that he is working hard at. And just getting chemistry with some of these new young receivers that we have. He actually has obviously some rapport with BT, but a lot of new for him at the tight end and receiver position.
Well, let's talk about BT a little bit. Liam Cohen, Jacksonville Jaguars head coach, referring to Brian Thomas. You've been around some great receivers, obviously last year, Tampa, Rams, your couple stints there. How good is this kid? Can you comp him? What do you got for me?
Yeah, so different, because he has some of the ability to win vertically as Mike Evans has in his, obviously in his career, where he can truly run right by you. If you are playing off thirds or off quarters or man coverage, he can run right by you. But also his ability at the first and second level to get in and out of breaks for a bigger dude is different, right? Where he's built similar in terms of the length of Mike Evans, but Cooper Kupp, the guys that we had, Robert Woods, that were able to get in and out of breaks on some of those choice routes, option routes, to where that's the separation that gets created on those third downs, right? It used to be third and Kupp, right? Every third down was a choice or option route.
Third and Kupp, I love it.
He has it, yeah. Right? He does have that ability to get parallel, to get to the line of scrimmage, but also you can throw him screens and he can go do something with it. I've been really pleased with him. Great dude, wants to be great, has taken all the coaching, and I've been really pleased with him so far.
Well, let's get into this Liam Cohen here, because I've been kind of holding back asking you about this in the very beginning, because I'm obsessed with Travis Hunter. So is pretty much America, let's be honest, okay? And you have quite an opportunity here. You are the guardian of this. You know exactly where I'm going on this, and as a guy who's been following the NFL for as long as I have, I've never seen anybody with an opportunity to do what he has, the physical and even better mental capability to do. The smarts to pull off going into multiple meeting rooms with people he's trying to beat in practice and then become teammates with on the weekend. Okay. I've never seen anything like this. This is now in your hands. What is your plan to play Travis Hunter on both sides of the football in the NFL, Liam Cohen?
It's absolutely happening. I mean, it is. It's, you know, this spring was a great learning curve for us where you've got to have everybody on board. Everybody in the building was on board with how do we get the best out of Travis's days and how do we make the most out of his time and our time as coaches and support staff and athletic training, sports science, equipment, strength and conditioning. Everybody's been on board with this from the beginning, right? Fast forward to now where he has taken massive strides, specifically at the receiver position, of truly playing it, right? The how to run each route, how to attack leverage. His ball skills and body control are extremely natural. Extremely natural. You can't really coach that. What he's been able to learn in getting aligned, assignments, fundamentals, techniques. And then when you go into a scrimmage and he gets one-on-one on a choice route and he's got a linebacker on him and he can make you miss in space and he can go do something with it. And just the energy, Rich, right? The energy that he provides, the type of confidence that he does exude that, you know, it comes from a cool place where it's almost youth-like, but he's also extremely mature for somebody his age to have gone through what he's gone through to get to where he's gone, the path that he's taken to get here. It's pretty cool to see, right? And these guys, they challenge him, right? They challenge him every day, both on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. They're chirping at him, and it's friendly, great competition. It's healthy. But, yeah, Travis is definitely somebody that's been really fun to work with so far.
I'm sure. My goodness, what an opportunity here for you, the team, for him, for his teammates, and for the league, and for fans. Yeah. And have you reached out to Prime at all? Dion, you ever had any conversations with him at all?
I have. Tony Baselli has.
Okay.
Like, you know, obviously with the
you hooked connection. Up at the jackets. You hooked up at the jackets and the busts. Those okay.
Guys.
Okay.
Those guys have. So
anything you can share? Anything you can share?
Yeah, just the confidence that Coach Prime had given us about him, just like how confident he was that he can do this, was pretty telling, right? I mean, at no point was it ever, yeah, you know, he's talented, but this is going to be something that, you know, he may struggle with, or this is what he may struggle with, or that. It was, man, he can do this. And that was just cool to hear from a guy that obviously you have a ton of respect for, playing the game at a high level and obviously in the same profession and coaching at a high level as we are, is hearing somebody as confident that they have a relationship that's extremely strong. It's a bond that's real. Travis has so much respect for Coach Prime, and you can tell it goes both ways. So to hear that, to hear Travis, the way he speaks about him, and obviously Coach Prime having some health issues over the last few months,
yes,
how much that is obviously not weighed on Travis, but, you know, he cares. He cares a lot about him, and you can see the person in Travis show up a lot, and the young man when he talks about Prime.
Well, I was delighted to see at your practice, your evening in front of 11,000 people at Everbank, that we saw 38 snaps out of Travis Hunter. Yeah. 17 with the first team O, 21 with the first team D. You know, all of us in the media were trying to get you to put a number here. Do you have a number? Do you have a number, like a sweet spot number for the number of snaps you can get out of him week one and then maybe work him in later in the season? Do you have?
Yeah, I think if
does one exist?
It's a hard number to probably come up. If you're saying you're going to play 65 to 75 snaps on offense, let's call it, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, if he's playing 80% of those snaps or so, you know, and then similar, you know, defensively, and you look at trying to be able to match that number as much as possible.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's
sure.
Ultimately for him, it's really going to come down to, like, you know, offensively and defensively, we've done more offense because that was where more of the development was necessary, right? So much more naturally to just go walk out in the field and play corner. Like, that's what he's done. He can go do that very similarly. Now there's a lot of checks. There's a lot of calls. There's a lot of different things that go to that. But offensively, we felt like there was a little bit more development that was necessary. And it's a lot more ball, right? Just a lot more scheme and words and calls. And so he has done his every single day, Rich, is completely packed from the moment that he arrives to the moment he leaves, with making sure that he is meeting with somebody at all times, at all times. And so I've been really pleased with the staff, our staff in general, and his work ethic. You want to play him as much as we can, though, Rich. That's the reality.
I love it. I love it. I can't tell you how. Honestly, you have an opportunity here for the entire league to be zeroed in. And I know it's 53. I get it. We're talking rosters. It's a team. Right. I haven't even mentioned defense. We had Josh Hines-Allen here in this chair a couple of weeks ago. He's dynamite. I mean, you got some great people on everywhere, but this is what an opportunity here. And the neat thing is he wants to do it. And I'm wondering, have you had to pull him back at any point in time? It's so far. Yeah. You had to have, I imagine, right?
I mean, he wants more.
I bet.
Well, Every single day.
What about what about your staff? Have you had to basically like say, hey, let's all play along here. You're gonna get him here, you're gonna get him there. Like
Oh yeah, there's definitely days, especially early on, where we're getting to know him before we became a little bit more concrete, maybe in our scheduling for him, was definitely okay, he would do some really positive things on one side of the ball or the other. And you know, there was definitely some arguments about who would have him maybe the next day. And we came to a pretty fair conclusion for training camp of making sure that it was darn near almost equal with reps on both offense and defense. So that's been the cool part, is to be able to see him go and be able to do it, obviously, within a scrimmage, within a practice. But also, this is like normal for him, Rich, right? Like he's been doing this. It's harder on us. In terms of just logistically, like processing, getting him the quality work without overdoing it. But the guy's, you know, his ability to run for a long time and his ability to be conditioned is pretty unique. And so he's just kind of used to it. It's normal for him. So like when he finishes a rack with the offense and he's on offense that day, like he's hitting me like, dude, coach, let me go over to the defense. Let me go. I'm like, relax.
Like, tomorrow. It's July.
Tomorrow.
You know
yes. Right? Tomorrow.
You know what I mean?
Tomorrow.
God. Awesome.
Pretty cool.
I can't, honestly, as you can tell, I cannot get enough of how you might use him and how he might look and how. Last one for you on this, and then I'll let you go on your day here. Do you think he can be offensive and defensive rookie of the year in the same year?
Ooh.
What do you think? What do you think?
I do think it's possible. I do think it's possible. You know, he is committed, man. Like he is committed to driving not just himself, but his teammates as well. And I think that his teammates, you spoke of Josh Hines-Allen,
yes, sir.
You know, speak of Trayvon Walker, you speak of Foye, you know, Tyson Campbell, I mean, Jordan Lewis from Dallas, like these guys are challenging him every single day. Like he doesn't get a free pass because he was the second overall pick and he's Travis Hunter. Like they are in his grill, trying to jam him up, trying to hem him up, trying to make it as hard as they can possibly make it for him in a great way, like in the most healthy way as possible, where they're going at it and chirping at each other. But it's truly guys, iron sharpening iron. That's what it feels like. And I wouldn't expect anything less from those guys. And so they've all been on board in terms of, hey, man, they think he can do it as well, but they're going to make him earn it as well in this building.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the way it's going to go when Carolina faces against him, right? Like, you
that's
know,
right.
J.C. Horn's not going to give him a little pat on the back. You know what I mean?
No, he's not going to be like, hey, man, this is cool what you're doing.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You know, like they're going to say, no, dude, you can't do this. And that's the beauty of it. So, you know, I think he's definitely driven to do it for the right reasons.
What a pleasure chatting. Congrats on the gig. Congrats on what you got there in front of you. Look forward to seeing what you can do there in the AFC South and beyond. And look for more of my calls. Coach, appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Rich. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. That's Liam Cohen, head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And bravo. Bravo.
Love it.
Use Travis Hunter. What goes through your mind when you hear everybody wants one of you?
Everybody's trying to hire a coach that's you.
Yeah.
I got to get this guy that's you. They want one of you.
Yeah.
What do you think of
what goes through my mind is, you know, it's flattering and humbling, Rich, but it's a result of the success we've had as a team. And, you know, it's just like, no, but you know what, though? It is true, though. Like, we got great coaches on our staff. We got good players, you know, so much in alignment with Les and his, you know, his group. And, you know, it's a great reflection of our organization and what we've done. And I think, you know, that's the biggest thing. And to see guys that we've worked with over the last couple of years get opportunities with Matt and with Zach Taylor, you know, they're deserving of it because of what they've done on their own merit. And when they go in and compete for jobs, people say, man, we can see this guy leading our organization. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing those guys thrive.
Have you told Kingsbury that he has the job because of you, too?
No, sure, that's the that. Cliff got his deal on his own.
Okay, no, I'm sure he did. I mean, you were knocking on his door too to join your staff. I know that. So you pantsed him, according to
Schefter. I got him good, didn't I?
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
I think you told that to Schefter.
I did.
You totally. What did you do to him?
Well, basically, you know, he obviously has a pre-existing relationship with Patrick Mahomes. He was out here doing some things, and Cliff was having dinner with him and a group of people, and we have a mutual friend, and I tricked him into thinking that, you know, he was tampering and that he was going to lose some picks. It was
that's what you changed somebody's name in your phone to Roger Goodell.
I did. Our mutual friend, I couldn't let this go on too long. So our mutual friend, a guy named Chaz Gessner, I put his number in my phone as Roger Goodell and had him send me a text that said, you know, hey, this is tampering. You know better than this. You guys are both, you know, and I showed it to Kingsbury and I said, you know, Mr. Goodell, he never texted me. I said, you better call Steve Kine right now. And his face, he was like, he said, I thought I was going to throw up. He's like, that's wrong. I mean, I couldn't let it go on for more than 30 seconds.
Yeah, you could have had it.
It was a good but a bad joke, man. I mean, he's like, you ruined dinner, man. But it was...
You know what? Just hearing you with Kingsbury, and just seeing you with Les Snead, and seeing you with Weddle, and I feel like that episode of Seinfeld where I'm hanging out with all the beautiful people and all the great hair right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
right.
all these hair guys. I feel like I'm in a different club.
YouTube.com/RichEisen Show is the home to our program, closing in on our 11th anniversary. Our full archive goes way back in the day.
I love Sean McVay.
Yeah, what's not to love?
Nothing. He's the best.
That's check out our full archive right here on the program. You doing all right over there? You good?
Why?
I'm just letting everyone know we're down to two Thin Mints now. Two.
Did you have another one?
I did.
So why again? Are you checking in on me?
Just
because of
take
the
them all.
Why?
It's like, oh, I left one. Just take them. Just eat them. You want them? You're gonna go back in the next break and get the
right.
another one.
So that's why I didn't That's why I didn't have two now.
But just bring them to your desk.
I don't want to.
Now, how pissed would you be if they're not there when you go back?
I wouldn't be pissed at all.
There's a good chance because I'm going to take one when I go back.
This is a work environment. This is a work environment. I'm just letting everyone know there's two left now.
Well, and not.
Hoskins, can we get more?
Can we get more?
Yeah.
We could probably buy him a Scout sign, to be honest.
I believe it's Hoskins' niece, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Let me just say something.
Say it.
Bravo, Liam Cohn. Bravo. I love it.
I know you love it, but Rich.
No. I do not take for granted. No. Stop. I know we're. May I?
It's the Rich Eisen
show. May I pick up what I'm sensing from you? It's just like it's Travis Hunter. Of course you're going to do it, Rich. Like if Rich, he's got a guy. Like they traded up a first rounder in last year's draft to go get the guy who can play both sides of the football. Why wouldn't they do that? Because so many teams and so many new head coaches get timid sometimes. Sometimes they don't put it out there. Sometimes they don't speak it into existence. Sometimes they don't come on the Rich Eisen show and say, this is the plan. This is what we're going to do. We are going to play them on both sides of the football. That's what we're going to do. As a matter of fact, I'm going to openly talk about it. Bravo. That's the way I want it. That's the way I want it. In this year of our football,
Lord,
2025, in this sports world, you need to differentiate yourself, even when you're the National Football League. And there is a unicorn sitting down there in Duval County in Florida. And they are just going to let him go. And I love it. I love it. Let's go. He said basically what? There's 75 offensive snaps in the game. Let's give him 80% there. We'll play him more on defense. Let's go. And yeah, maybe he can be offensive and defensive rookie of the year. Speak it, Liam Cohen. Speak it. I love it. Honestly, other coaches would be like, oh, I don't know what the plan is. We're going to see this. We're going to see that. We'll take a little, we'll see what he can handle. We'll see what's on his plate. No. He can handle what's on his plate because Deion created the plate for the kid. And yeah, the kid knows how he can do it. The kid's been doing it all along. And we're not going to hold him back. The only way we're going to hold him back is because he wants more. And we're like, okay, we're the adults in the room. We can handle what's on your plate for you. But guess what? It's going to be full enough. I love it. I love it.
Can I have a slight pushback?
Please.
And you know what? Akbar could be a much better person to discuss this than me, seeing as he's actually done this professionally. But I feel you're like you want him out there 100 plays a game. Don't you worry about wearing him out at some point? I mean, I realize he's a unicorn and people haven't done this, but that's a lot to put on this kid. And like I was saying to you guys earlier, let's just say there's plays where he gets just blasted going over the middle on a slant, and then he's got to come out and guard like wide receiver one. And have that happen multiple times during the game? I don't know. I just kind of feel that might be a little tough on him. But again, I don't know. And it's just a thought that
he's 21. He's 21 years of age. And at some point, maybe he'll play one side of the football only. But until that point, you've got him. And you can show off to the world, including when they go to London to take on the Rams, interestingly enough. What you do with somebody like this, that you're smart enough as a coaching staff, nimble enough as a front office to surround him with the roster and the coaches who can nurture what we have seen at the collegiate level and make it happen at the professional level. And we're not going to tiptoe around it. I was pleased to hear that. I thought I might get from Liam Cohen, well, we don't know. We're still working on it. Work in progress.
He owned it.
You know? Maybe more on offense. We'll work him in on defense a little bit more. No. His plate is full. The minute he shows up to work to the minute he goes home, and then I'm sure the plate's full when he's there too at home. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Talk about it. Speak about it. Don't be afraid of it. Make it happen. Deion was saying when we were in the draft evaluation period, any head coach that doesn't want to play him on both sides of the ball, don't draft him. And as a matter of fact, you're going to want to play him both because if you're behind in a game, you got your best offensive weapon standing next to you. And if you're ahead in a game and you don't have you're going to have your best defensive weapon standing next to you? No. Liam Cohen's like, let's go. Let's go. Dude, love it.
Three of these, baby.
Martha listens to her favorite band all the time. In the car, gym, even sleeping. So when they finally went on tour, Martha bundled her flight and hotel on Expedia to see them live. She saved so much, she got a seat close enough to actually see and hear them. Sort of. You were made to scream from the front row. We were made to quietly save you more. Expedia, made to travel. Savings vary and subject to availability. Flight inclusive packages are at all protected.